For Mishnah 1, Atruma Mahayu Oisin Ba. What did they do with the withdrawal of the funds, the shkalim that they withdrew? Lechin Ba Tamidin and Musafim Veniskaim. They would purchase all of the communal offerings. So, the Tamid offering, the daily sacrifices, the Musaf offerings that were brought on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Veniskaim, and also with those offerings, what used to come with them was meal offerings and libation offerings accompany those offerings. They would buy all of that with the shkalim. Ha'imer, the Omer offering that was brought on the 16th of Nisan, the day after Pesach. Shtei Alechem, the two showbreads that are brought on Shavuot. V'lechem Apanim, and the 12 loaves that are brought every Shabbos, every week. So they would buy all of that with the shkalim. V'chol Karbonos HaTzibur, and all other korban communal sacrifices would be brought with the shkalim. Not only that, Shomer Svichim B'Shvis, those who watch the aftergrowth of the Shemitah year. Now in the Shemitah year, you've got a bit of a problem, and that is that the produce is ownerless. You can't trade in Shemitah produce, so there was very little produce. And some of the sacrifices, like the Omer offering and the two loaves on Shavuot, had to come from this ownerless produce. And though it was really just like aftergrowth, it had grown itself in the fields. And what they were worried that there wouldn't be enough, so what they would do is they would send watchmen to guard this aftergrowth. And those watchmen would make sure that no one came and took it so that they had enough for the temple. So you could pay these watchmen from the shkalim, and they would guard the produce. And then when it time to bring those sacrifices, there was enough aftergrowth. So they could be paid from the shkalim. And the reason being that paying them is like included in the sacrifice. Whatever you need for the sacrifice is like included in the sacrifice. So notlin scharen mitrumas alishka, they could take their payment from the withdrawal from the chamber. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he says, Afarotze misnadav shomechinim. Anyone who wishes to volunteer to be an unpaid watchman, they could volunteer. That would be okay. They didn't have to get paid, says Rabbi Yossi. Amrulai, the Chachamim said to him, Afata Omer sha'enam boin ele mishel tzibur. They said to him, you too say that they must come only from public assets, meaning that the sacrifice had to come from public assets. There's a few interpretations of what the rabbi said back to him. We'll just take one. And the interpretation that we're going to take is that since the aftergrowth was hefka, it was ownerless, if he was an unpaid watchman, when he took it, he acquired it for himself, not for the temple, for himself. And now you get into a whole debate of if he can donate it to the temple, does it become a public offering, or is it still his own private offering? So to avoid that debate, say the rabbis, you must pay the guard. You must pay him. You don't have a choice. You have to pay him. Then he brings over here that the Rambam, Paskins like this, that you have to pay the guard. He's not allowed to do it for free. But he brings a slightly different reason. The Rambam brings that there were strong-armed men, right? They used to come, and even though there was a guard there, they used to like push the guard aside and take the produce. But if they knew that the guard was being paid, and they knew that the produce therefore was temple property, they wouldn't be so chutzpahdik to come and take it. So they were happy to steal, right, from the guard. But they weren't, well, it wasn't really stealing because it was like hefka, it was ownerless property. But they wouldn't do that if they knew it was temple property. That's why you pay the guard, says a rabbi. Either way, it comes out the law is this guard of the aftergrowth had to be paid. He couldn't do it for nothing.